With this gospel reading, I would like to encourage us to think about actually what St. Peter says. He says in his first epistle, "Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you." And I think this, I mean, Peter obviously accompanied Christ through his entire earthly ministry, but this would be one of those kind of pivotal moments in Peter's experience of Jesus that gives him the confidence to say to all the people that he's writing to, cast your cares, all of your cares, upon the Lord, God himself, because the Lord cares for you. So Jesus has just gotten back from healing the Gadarene demoniac. As you recall, they asked him to leave because mostly because they lost a whole bunch of pigs. They saw the power of Christ, and they saw this as something dangerous. And so they had asked him to leave, and he did. The Gadarene demoniac, whom he had healed, wanted to come with Jesus. Jesus said, "No, stay and tell everybody that what great things God has done for you." And later on, when Jesus goes back there, he has a very different reception, probably because of the word of this man. But now he comes back, and they've all been waiting for him as he comes back across the Lake of Galilee. And so he's thronged by this huge multitude of people. And wending his way through this huge multitude of people is Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. So very important man. He has a daughter who's 12 years old, and she is dying. And so he manages to push his way through the crowd, or who knows, maybe people help him through the crowd because he is actually a pretty important man. And he comes to Jesus and tells him that his daughter is dying, please come. And Jesus says, yes, he'll come. And so they're coming very slowly because it must have been agonizingly slowly because there's all these people thronging Jesus. And then all of a sudden Jesus stops for no apparent reason whatsoever. And the whole procession, the whole multitude stops, and Jairus's heart must like have stopped as well, because he's just thinking about his daughter who's at home on the brink of death. And Jesus says, someone touched him. The disciples are like, what? Of course someone touched you. It's a whole multitude of people. It's thronging around you. And you're saying someone touched you? And Jesus says, no, someone touched me, for I perceive that healing power went out from me. And so at that moment, out of the crowd comes a woman who anybody who knew her would know that she's not supposed to be there, because this woman for 12 years has been suffering from a flow of blood. And in the Jewish law, suffering from any kind of breach of the body is a source of uncleanness. And again, in Jewish law, anyone who is unclean, who touches someone who is clean, makes that clean person unclean. And so anyone who was unclean, ritually, in this ritual sense, was expected to stay home, not touch anybody, be away from society. And this poor woman, who had been suffering from this flow of blood for 12 years, it's interesting that it's exactly the same number of years as Jairus has had his daughter. She has spent all of her livelihoods on all of the money that she has on physicians, on doctors. It's interesting that Luke notes this. Luke is himself a doctor. He knows just how greedy doctors can be, maybe. I don't know. But he says none of them have been able to help her. And so she had made her way through the crowd surreptitiously and just quietly touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was immediately healed. And so she comes forward and confesses this to all of the people. And Jesus tells her, be of good cheer, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Right at this moment, people come from Jairus' house to tell him, don't trouble the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead. Jesus, you know, Jairus must have been devastated. But Jesus turns to him and says, don't worry. He says, don't be afraid. Only believe and she will be made well. So he continues on. He comes to the house, allowing only the father and mother and Peter and James and John to go into the room with where the little girl is lying with him. Of course, to get there, they have to go through the mourners. And in those days when somebody died, you actually hired a bunch of people to come in and mourn, or you at very least had your relatives come in, and the mourning would be audible, wailing and weeping. No sort of a stiff upper lip, British reserved, you know, well, yeah, we're very sorry about this. No, it was a visible, audible manifestation of grief. And Jesus says to them, don't weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. I suspect like the emotional incongruity of this leads them all to laugh at him. It's like, what do you mean? We know she's dead. But he just quietly puts everybody out of the room and says to very simply to her, little girl, get up. And she gets up and he gives her back to her parents and tells them, I love this little detail, tells them to give her something to eat. And then he tells them, don't tell anybody about this. One of the things that strikes me about this story, well, there's so many, and it's such an emotive story on so many levels, but is the contrast between the ruler of the synagogue, on the one hand, whose daughter is dying. So this is something really, really important. You know, he's somebody who's way up there in the hierarchy, and it's a life and death, literally a life and death situation. And this woman, who she might not have been poor to begin with, she had money to pay doctors, but now she's completely destitute. And she's, and the contrast between them could hardly be greater. He was somebody who was important and honored, and everybody knew him. And here this woman was a social outcast. She could not engage with people. And on some level, the problem that she's dealing with is not, at the very least, it's not life and death. And yet, there doesn't seem to be any real difference in how Jesus, who we know to be God himself, the creator of the universe, incarnate in the flesh, treats either one of these people. In both cases, he stops, he focuses on the situation, he is with them, he goes with them, he moves with them, he engages with them. And I think it's actually something that we can take heart at. The revelation of who the Lord is in Jesus Christ is that he cares for us, whether we are high or low, rich or poor, socially important or outcast, whether it's a life and death situation or whether it's just one of those little situations where When somebody very dear to me used to say, when any like child was crying over, I don't know, a glass of spilt milk or something, may all your troubles be like this. There's a dismissive element to that. Also a wish that none of your troubles will be any more difficult than that. But that's not how God deals with it. He knows just how difficult and challenging we find life. All aspects of life. The ones that are literally life and death, and the ones that are just like, oh, it's like nothing's going right today. My car won't start. My tire is flat. I'm late for work. And he cares about all of that. And that's why Peter, writing much later, says and is able to say, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. And that's really what he wants, as is evidenced again by the story. The woman with the flow of blood who is healed, he doesn't just let it pass. She wants to be completely, anonymous, which you can understand given the social circumstances. But he doesn't want that. He wants to have a relationship with her. And so he stops and he engages with her and he makes sure that she has the opportunity to come forward and tell everybody what's happened. And then he reassures her. He tells her to be of good cheer. And that's what he does with us. We are, if we turn to him, if we give our burdens, our difficulties, our sorrows, the things that we're struggling with over to him in our rule of prayer, or just in just one of those prayers that I love, Lord help, in the circumstance. He is there. He cares about us and he will intervene. And because he loves us, he cares for us. We are his children. And even if it's one of those things where you might say, yeah, may all your troubles be like that. To him, he understands just how challenging and difficult that is for us, and he loves us in that. And he wants us to turn to him in that. And so, whether it is something that is life and death, or whether it is something that is just apparently trivial, cast that care on the Lord, for he cares for you. May all glory be to him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages.